It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com as well. And I so appreciate each and every one of you joining us. You're each treasured, valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, Jen, who I'm pleased to add in here, and Keith, and the whole everybody here at Crawford Broadcasting. So it's great to be here. Happy Thursday, producer Steve. Happy Monday. Here we go. Anyway, he must be talking to somebody that just tried to call me. So in studio with me is Lauren Levy. Lauren Levy, you are a valued partner of both the Kim Monson Show and America's Veteran Stories. You're an expert in the mortgage arena, and it's great to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
And
you better let people know that sound that just was, that was not Lauren.
That was not Lauren. That was my phone. I had my ringer on.
So, shame on you.
Well, I normally check that.
And Karen Levine just called in, too.
Okay, great.
Their power went out, so... Okay. We'll visit with her at the bottom of the hour.
Okay, that's right. Because of that windstorm yesterday, there was all kinds of power challenges out in the Western Metro area. And in fact, I saw a tweet from the Jefferson County a sheriff that said, unless it's really an emergency, you know, really an emergency, don't call us. So anyway, those winds were something else. And be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I greatly appreciate it. And Lauren, you do sponsor both of the shows, and we have, for America's Veteran Stories, we continue to just have these amazing stories. So last week, we had a 90-year-old Marine veteran, Marty Letelier, and he was in the Korean War, which is many times known as the Forgotten War, and he was at one of the most famous Marine battles, and that was the Battle of the Chosin Reservoir. This week, we're going to have 95-year-old Lou Zobie, who Army veteran, and he was at Battle of the Bulge. And so just our partnership on this is just so important.
Well, and it's great that what you're doing is keeping these stories alive, because these folks are getting old.
Yeah.
And, you know, they won't be around all that much longer. And so to keep their stories alive and recorded is great.
It really is. It's super important. So thank you for that. And then I want to let you know something great that's going on. I should explain that. So this week's America's Veterans Stories can be heard at 3 p.m. on Sunday. And then the way producer Charlie has it is that story then is rebroadcast the next Sunday at 10 p.m. and then the next Saturday at 10 p.m. So we have three America's Veteran Stories every weekend, and they're different, which is just brilliant, I think, producer Steve.
Well, we got to get the most of, you know, biggest bang for our buck here. So in terms of era material or content, I guess, that's very much airworthy, and, you know, people need to hear. You can't get anything better than America's Veteran Stories.
I totally agree, and it's an honor to get to do that. One other thing that's happening here at KLZ, my good friend Reggie Carr and Clancy Jones, he's Republican, she's Democrat, they're both Black, and they are creating I'm a Uniter. They've hit something, Lauren, that I think is so important. They've realized that there's been politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, those PBIs, those pundits out there, that have been wanting to divide us. And there's more that we're united about than what divide us. And so they have started a new radio show, I'm a Uniter. It's on at 9 a.m., 9 to 10 on Friday mornings. Super interesting, Lauren.
Well, and that's great because that's true. And it's good to see that it's two people from, you know, the same class of folks that have
the same ethnic group.
Yeah, ethnic group that have differing opinions on politics. And it's pretty neat that they're doing that.
And what is interesting is they are taking on some of the issues. One of the things is the black-on-black crime that hardly anybody out there is talking about. And there's been times when I've been listening to the show and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they said that, but it's so important. So be sure and check that out on Friday mornings, 9 to 10, right here on KLZ 560. Let's see, in the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with you, Lauren, and Karen Levine. She's a realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. I want to talk about the Fed, also public policy regarding housing. And so we'll have plenty to talk about then. But somebody sent me this quote that I thought was, I just had to share it with you. I shared it with a listener the other day, Sandra, up from Northern Colorado, and I shared it with her. And it is, it's from St. Augustine. And St. Augustine of Hippo was a theologian and philosopher of Berber origin and the bishop of the Hippo Regius in Numidia, Roman North Africa. His writings influenced the development of Western philosophy and Western Christianity, and he is viewed as one of the most important church fathers of the Latin Church in the patristic period. He was born in 354, and he died in 430. He was born in Algeria. And Steve, you didn't know him personally, did you?
Stop it.
Here we go. This is what he said. The truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Let it loose, and it will defend itself. Steve, you first. What do you think?
Well, when I consider the major news outlets and their never-ending battle these days to suppress the truth, that's an awesome quote.
It really is. And, Lauren, you know that our focus on this show is to search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. So what do you think about that quote?
I think it's very interesting that it was 1,700 years ago and someone was thinking the same way.
I know. And so human nature doesn't change. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so interesting about our founding documents is the founding fathers really knew that human nature doesn't change, and to try to put into place this government of we the people instead of a hierarchy that's a real battle that's going on right now.
Absolutely. I mean, it's great because it gives shows like this a place, you know, and stuff to talk about. So it's important.
Yeah.
Well, consider what's going on with this January 6th commission.
Oh, yes.
Trying to get to the, quote, the pseudo-truth by a very biased commission. And Adam Schiff has been caught again.
Yes, he has.
Altering the truth.
You mean Mr. Shirt Without My, or Riding a Camel Without My Shirt On, Adam Schiff? Is that? No, that's Swalwell.
Yeah.
That's Swalwell.
Yeah, well,
I get the two confused, sorry.
Idiots of a feather flock together.
Speaking of Swalwell and California, yesterday we played the soundbite of San Francisco Mayor London Breed. And I'd been back and forth with Patty on text, and she's kind of like, well, you know, you kind of hit that yesterday. But after I got this text last night talking about San Francisco, and apparently in the San Francisco area, Lauren, people are leaving their car windows down and their trunks open so that they don't have smash and grabs with their cars. I mean, can you honestly believe that?
No. But I can tell you that it's not just a California thing. I mean, where we live, Kim, I live not that far from you. We read about it all the time of people warning you not to leave valuables in your car. And, you know, things are starting to come around where we never thought they were coming around before.
Well, it just actually this last weekend, it just happened to a member of my family who was at a concert in Denver, and somebody smashed the window and took some things out of there. And just the inconvenience. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the things that were taken out of the car were found at a construction site. The iPad was taken and some of those things. But the inconvenience and the cost of getting the window fixed and checking out and trying to make sure everything else is secure. And so here in California. Go ahead and play that soundbite, how they've let it degrade to this, Steve. And now, London Breed, what does she have to say?
And it comes to an end when we take the steps to be more aggressive with law enforcement, more aggressive with the changes in our policies, and less tolerant of all the bull that has destroyed our city.
Boy, that's some real tough talk from somebody that wanted to defund the police, huh?
And zero bail.
And zero bail, yeah. Yeah, well, pretty astounding.
All right, you ask yourself then, how ridiculous can this get? Okay. Go to that story I put on your console there.
I heard about this. In fact, Josh Phillip, when we had him on from the Epoch Times, or Epoch Times, he said that that this was actually happening in New York City.
This is appeasement first class.
Yes. So Bank of America has reportedly advised its New York City staffers to dress down in an effort to avoid becoming a target for robberies or violent crimes, the New York Post reports. The purported advice comes as lawlessness is on the rise in the Democrat-controlled city. The Post's Lydia Moynihan explained that senior executives at the company have quietly encouraged some of the company's junior employees to dress down in order to attract less attention while traversing the city to Bank of America's tower at One Bryant Park. These executives have told their staffers that dressing up or wearing anything with the Bank of America logo could make them a target, Moynihan wrote. One bank employee told the New York Post on the money that he is on, and I guess that's primarily the rest of it. But I used to go to New York a lot because I had been in the women's fashion industry, so I would go to New York a lot. And in fact, one time, just because I walked all the way from Midtown down to the World Trade Center site. And it's amazing in New York that you could do that. Mm-hmm. And I felt safe through that whole time. I wouldn't do that today, Lauren.
No, I don't get it. I mean, I know what people say, and they talk about defunding the police as not what they meant to take police off the street or not enforce things. But what did they expect?
Well, and the disrespect that they've had for the blue.
100%.
And yeah, so what do you expect? So we've seen many senior police officers that have just retired. And mm-hmm. Here they're people that put their lives on the line every day. We always know, we talked about human nature, that there can be some bad apples. But this is what the left has done, is they have focused on the Founding Fathers. They were human beings. So they focus on their faults, but they don't talk about the good things. With the police, they'd focused on the few bad apples, and now look what we have. San Francisco, you roll down your windows, and you open your trunk so that people don't rob you. Do you want to walk around in a city like that? It's just unbelievable to me.
No, and it'll take something happening to where it's going to have to hit them in the wallet, Kim. It seems like that's where everything has to happen. Like, you know, home values have to start coming down, and businesses will leave.
And all of a sudden,
they're going to have to get a wake-up call.
It's going to happen. It's got to.
Well, so last night, Karen Levine and I met for dinner, and we decided to meet at kind of a central place, so we decided to go to Larimer Square. First of all, this is my third time in this week into Denver. And Steve, I continue to make adjustments. I just take, you know, limited handbag and make sure I know where I'm parked. $20 for parking. Larimer Square was Deadsville. And I look at that and I'm just, it's all because of public policy, and it breaks my heart, Lauren.
Mm-hmm. I haven't left the bubble in a while.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I'm going back into Denver for a while. I did that three times in a row and got out of there, and so I'm glad about that. But it's the point I want to make is this is because of bad public policy this is occurring. And we'll talk about the housing market here in the third and fourth segment. It's been bad public policy that we're at the point that we're in, that where it's so limited on building a home. But let's go to break. Before we do that, though, another great partner of both of the shows is Hooters Restaurants, and they have five locations, and that is Westminster, Loveland, Lone Tree, Aurora, and Colorado Springs. They have all kinds of specials, and they have lunch specials. They have $8 specials, $9 specials, and $10 specials. And I'm going to be meeting some friends over there for lunch, and I'm going to have the fish and chips, Steve.
You know, I need to do that because I'm a fish and chips kind of person.
Okay, well, that's what I'm going to have. But it's a great place to get together with friends during this time. And so be sure and check out my website. That is kimmunson.com. I have all my sponsors there. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to have this conversation with Pastor Jim Tarr, and he is pastor of Cornerstone Bible Church or Cornerstone Church and School in Basalt. And it's been rather remarkable of what the Eagle County has been doing to him and his church, and you won't want to miss this. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I so appreciate all of you who join us and important conversations today, as always. You know that we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation. Pastor Jim Tarr is on the line. And he is the pastor of Cornerstone Church and School in Basalt. And he was exercising their freedom regarding these mask mandates that have been occurring throughout our country. And I think it's important that we hear what has happened. Pastor Tarr, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning. It's good to be on your show. I appreciate the opportunity just to get the word out.
So tell us what happened, Pastor Jim.
Well, we're over here in Eagle County. We actually live in the Roaring Fork Valley, which is the Aspen Valley. And the Friday before our school opened, they changed their policy and their mandate for Eagle County schools, not just public schools, but private schools, including our private Christian school. And they mandated that everyone needed to be masked. And so we felt as though it is our right to determine, and it's the right of each parent to determine whether they're going to put a mask on their child or not. So, you know, that's based on just even the foundation stone of the Ten Commandments in Western civilization, that sixth commandment is honor your father and your mother. And we really believe that it is the role of the school, unlike the public schools right now, to honor the wishes of parents in their children's values, and even down to the issue of whether a mask would be placed on the child's face for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 180 days a year. So we stood on those on that position, and so we informed the county, who changed their mandate the Friday before all our schools opened, that we intended to honor the wishes of parents concerning masking. If the parents desired that, the child would be masked during the day. If the parent did not desire that, then we would have the child, we would honor that as well. So we informed them of that, and then our first communication came back from the county. Now, I want you to know that they built their case, and this is what's happened in the state of Colorado, is that our legislature in Colorado has given a carte blanche authority to our local health directors. They're unelected officials, they're part of a bureaucracy, but they can virtually do almost anything they want during the time of a crisis. So in their first communication with me, they enumerate what they can do. They can take control of our property. They can enter our buildings whenever they want. They can quarantine as they wish. So, you know, first off, that's not acceptable to me, as because they're giving to the mandate the same power of law. Our legislature passed legal weight, gravity, whatever you want to call it, to mandates to an unelected official. We found out even within the last week that your unelected health director has more power than even our county commissioners. So the first letter came to us about what their right is and their authority as the health department. Secondly, they told us that our school would need to remain masked until 80% of the building, see, they don't want to say children, until 80% of the building is vaccinated. Now, to help you to understand what that means to us is that we have an infant care center all the way up to 12th grade.
Wow.
It's a small school, only 100 kids. But when you're talking about the context of you will be masked until 80% is vaccinated, while President Biden is saying that by the spring of 2022 that there will be an approval for vaccinations for infants, this is not acceptable to us. Even when it comes to the mask, when it comes to vaccinations, that's going to be parental choice because we're going to honor the values of parents. So on top of that, then, here's something that was very interesting. Until just I publicly made a complaint, every single email that was coming from our Eagle County Health Director included the signature, his signature at the end of the emails. Underneath his signature, it had he, him, his, as he was identifying his pronouns. I clicked on that because it's in blue, and what pops up? 6 or 8 pages of a pro-transgender agenda that they're pushing through Eagle County. So here's what I began to think. I'm watching the national narrative, and I'm hearing that they are saying that transgenderism is going to be a leading health issue in the future. So my brain begins to click, and I'm thinking like this. If they can mandate masks until we're 80% vaccinated, and you can see in that, that's just a punitive effort to make people miserable, to force them to get vaccinated. So if I allow Eagle County to tell me our children must be masked, then I have opened the door for them to say, your children must be vaccinated from infant all the way up to high school. And then after that, if they're talking about transgenderism being a major health care issue, then I'm beginning to think then they can force upon my Christian school their transgender agenda that they're pushing in the public schools. Now, listen, I want to make perfectly clear to anyone that's listening, we absolutely value every human being. I'm not turning this into a transgender issue that some would want to turn it into, but here's the truth. This was sent to us by our health director to a Christian school. Now, if you just landed on this planet yesterday, you might be naive, but I know that this man is smart enough to know that we honor the Bible. The Bible is the bedrock of our faith. So that we believe, without any hesitation, that there's no wavering in this, that there are only two genders, that God created the male and female. We at our Christian school are going to raise our boys to be men and our daughters to be women. We are not going to tell them each and every day they can choose whatever gender they want to be. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, we're realizing that they're overstepping and they're overreaching what they have the right to do, and they are violating my First Amendment rights. Well, we have the right for the free exercise of religion. We don't have just the right for religion. We have the right to exercise our faith according to our beliefs. And no one can deny that Christianity has embraced the Bible as the foundation of all that they believe. So then also what happens to me? We get sent religious exemptions. So I had a couple problems with it, but so did they. So when I receive these religious exemptions, they tell me, now this didn't happen to other Christian schools, this has gotten personal with them towards me, but I was told that we should have never received those religious exemptions, and if I get them filled out and send them back, that they're not going to accept them. But here's my problem with that. On those religious exemptions, they suggest that we Christians fill them out, and yet at the very same time, we take our convictions and submit them to a third party so that they're going to review them and figure out whether it's acceptable. I will never submit a religious exemption to a third party to determine whether they deem it worthy. of being a religious exemption. And at the very same time, we had people meeting in our church on Monday nights that were getting fired by the local hospitals, and that's a whole nother topic right there. And systematically, every one of their religious exemptions was being denied. But also in those meetings in our church, some people were religious, but they out of conscience said, I cannot in good conscience take this vaccination. So take the vaccination or in good conscience wear a mask, some of the teachers in the public schools. So here's how I felt. If I filled out a religious exemption, I felt like I was jumping on a boat and waving at the people who weren't religious and yet had a conscientious objection to vaccination and saying, goodbye, you know, see y'all, good luck. I found my lifeboat, and I hope you all make it. When our founding fathers, in their discussions, talking about the First Amendment and religious liberty, they didn't use the word religion as much as they did in their discussions talk about conscience. And every American has the right, whether it's religious or not religious, to follow their conscience. And so I felt like I couldn't do it. I also knew that there were people in our school that didn't have a religious exemption or a religious reason to not mask their children. And so they might have been able to fill it out. Let me just say this. The only reason my school is in trouble, our school, excuse me, is because we tell the truth. We could do what other schools are doing and other preschools as saying our policy is that you mask, and they don't keep the masks on those two-year-olds like we are being asked, 2 years old enough. And so you know what? We live in a culture right now that if you lie, and I'm going to tell you, I can't tell you how many times Eagle County has crossed the line with me as far as being truthful. But at the very same time, if you want to survive in politics now, you got to lie. And if you want to be in trouble right now, just tell the truth. That's the kind of culture we have now.
And that is why...
I'm just talking, and I'm not letting you ask me questions.
This is very important information. And I don't know if you heard the quote that we did at the beginning of the show. I always do a quote, and that it was from St. Augustine, and a good friend of mine had sent that over. And the quote was this. It said, "The truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Let it loose, and it will defend itself." And so what you are describing here, Pastor Jim, is really important. And I really laud you on something that you just said, because I have friends that are not religious. And they said, well, what about us if we disagree with having to be masked or having to take this vaccine? And we're not religious. And so I really appreciate what you have just said here in taking this stand. We're just about out of time, Pastor Jim. Where are you at right now in this process with Eagle County? And I want to make the point, my friends, is we have abdicated. We're supposed to have representative government. And it was really a couple of years ago that I started to take a look at these forced vaccinations. This was before COVID. And was looking at what was happening down at the legislature. And then I did pull up the legislation on this. Pastor Jim, it's over 1,000 pages, and they have added and added and added to it where they have given this power to these unelected bureaucrats. And we need to reclaim our representative government. And I'm pleased that the veil is off on this. Tell us what's next, though, for you.
Well, right now we're under orders, and it also includes that we have to re-mask. And then now we have been mandated that, again, the 80% vaccination rate. They've also told us that every child in our school, infant all the way up to high school, and every teacher has to submit themselves twice a week across the street to get tested for COVID. And we looked into it. We're going to be tested by a private company. And if you go on that company's website, the genetic material of our infants to 12th graders will be submitted to a private company who online says they are building research, and they are also building a database. Now, can you tell me why any American would submit the genetic material of their child to a private company who's doing research and building a database? They have created an impossible situation for us. So right now, you know, we're still under each one of us. We had to go to all of our school families and let them know that under these orders, every family that participates while we are not in compliance is subject to a $5,000 fine and to 18 months in jail. We had to tell all of the mothers of our little children, you could go to jail for 18 months. We had to tell every volunteer, every teacher, you know what? My teachers stayed with me. God bless them, because they're willing to stand up for the cause. But now our enrollment's down to 50%, because what young mother or father can say, I can afford to go to jail for 18 months?
Right.
So we were supposed to have our hearing in court on Tuesday. It ended up getting, they shut it down the day before. The governor didn't hand them, you know, any advantage by saying COVID is over and the government has no right to mask kids.
Wait a minute, Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim, just wait a minute. Polis, now that his approval rating is below 50%, he was actually out on national news saying that he wasn't so concerned about this, but he has not lifted the emergency order, and I think people need to understand that. So the hearing did not happen this last Tuesday, so now what's going to happen?
Well, now, we'll see what's happened now is what Americans need to realize is that OSHA's involved. So now OSHA's gotten involved in this. And so that's a whole new level. So they actually had sent a couple people. Let me explain something real quickly. I know we're out of time. But not only am I backwards with the county, the state is now involved because the county sent two Colorado State Department They came under the pretense of wanting to do an environmental study of our preschool. And I told them, you're here under false pretense, and you're not allowed into our building. So now the county's involved. Now the state is involved because I did that. And now OSHA's involved, which makes it federal.
Okay. How can people help you, Pastor Jim? Can people help you?
You know, honestly, I'm not this guy. I've never done this before. But our enrollment's down to 50%. If people want to help us, last week cost us $20,000 in legal fees, and then it ended up getting shut down. They could help by going on Give, Send, Go, and all of that will go to our legal costs. Anything over and above that will help support our teachers because we've lost our income. We've gone from 100 students, a small school, now we're down to around 50.
Okay, and again, what is that exactly, how people can help you?
If they go on Give, Send, Go, and if they just search Cornerstone School or Pastor Jim Tarr, it'll come up, and then they can contribute to that.
Okay. And the other thing, prayer is super, super important as well, and I know you'd appreciate people's prayers.
Absolutely.
Pastor Jim.
We're hearing from people all over the U.S. Thank you.
Okay. Pastor Jim, stay in touch. This is so important, and it reminds me of the Black-Robed Regiment that actually stood up against the British during the Revolutionary War. So, Pastor Jim Tarr, thanks so much, and keep us informed on what's happening.
Thank you so much for the time.
Okay.
God bless.
You bet. And we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, another great sponsor of both the shows is Kirsch Insurance Group. They are experts in the Medicare arena. And it's important, just like Lauren Levy, they're brokers in the Medicare arena. Lauren Levy's a broker in the mortgage arena, so that they're not just constricted to working with one company. They can help you find out what is best for you. And there will be a new period beginning January 1 through March 31st, where those of you that are on Medicare Advantage plans, the government says you get one chance if you want to make a make a different choice on that. And Kirsch Insurance Group is the people to help you with that. Their website is ikirsch.com. That's ikirsch.com. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Lauren Levy about the Fed and what's going on there. Karen Levine regarding housing stock and some different policies there. So stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kimmunson.com as well. Lauren and I were talking in the break, and I was just thinking of something, producer Steve, and that was, remember back with Nancy Reagan, there was a war on drugs. Now there is a war for drugs by the government. Can you believe it?
In either case, we just say no.
Just say no is exactly right. And Karen Levine is on the line. Karen, we thought you were going to be in studio, but the windstorm yesterday made it real interesting in the western part of the metro area. Welcome.
Well, it's nice to be here on the air, and I'm sorry I'm not there in person. I apparently still live in the dark ages and don't use my phone as an alarm. I use an alarm clock. So when the power went out and I rolled over and it was flashing, it was a bit of an abrupt waking up.
But you're here.
It's interesting, right?
Yes, right. You're here. So let's jump over here. Karen, we're going to ask you about policy on housing. But Lauren Levy's in studio. The Fed is interesting. They've been using this word transitory. And there was I saw a montage of all the talking heads talking about that inflation was just transitory. And then I guess what Chairman Powell came out and said, oh, no. So tell us, what's going on with the Fed? We are all on the edge of our seats.
So he came out, I think it was in November, and said that that it's not transitory anymore. And basically, to his credit, admitted that they were a little bit wrong. And
how do they keep their jobs and be wrong like that?
How do the weather people keep their jobs?
Good point.
I don't know. How's anybody?
It's interchangeable.
Yeah. But they came out yesterday, and the reason the market was down yesterday, for anybody that was watching before they spoke, down pretty good, and then it finished up pretty good, and it's going to be up again today. And it's because the market doesn't like surprises. You and I talk about that mm-hmm. on the phone a lot. The market assumed that they were going to taper, which they had said in November. They were going to start and try to finish in June.
Which that could make interest rates go up.
Yes,
right?
It could. But it removes the stimulus that has been in for a long time that people think is no longer necessary. Mm-hmm. And so they said they're going to double the speed of that. So instead of finishing in June, they're going to finish in March now, which that, once that's out of the way, will clear them to be able to raise rates should they feel the need to do so. And so they've targeted maybe two, maybe three times next year. They think they'll raise interest rates. And so we'll see. But they said that they're open to see how the market reacts. And the one thing that the market liked as they spoke, as he answered questions in his press conference, he mentioned that he understands that what they do can really move markets. And I think the market likes to know that they're kind of watching their back mm-hmm. and don't want to shock anybody with what they do. They like to lay it out there, see how it reacts, and then go. And so that's comforting for a lot of people that are in the market. And so it's been going up since you started talking.
Hmm. I had Murray Sabrin on yesterday, a finance professor, and kind of an expert on the economy, and really thinks the Fed should get out of this. I mean, is that possible? And what's so frustrating for me is they think that they can kind of manipulate, I guess, the economy, but yet he just came out and said he was wrong.
Well, and the way we judge people's intelligence is, you know, certain ways, by their education, by IQ, and so these are supposed to be some of the smartest people we have, right, on uh-huh. these on these Federal Reserve boards. And so I'd like to think they're doing their best. They're supposed to be non-political, not take sides. And the challenge is you have them operating, but then you also have Congress. And so is it the Fed that's doing something wrong, or is Congress passing these huge bills of stimulus and flooding the market behind uh-huh. the Fed? That's causing the trouble, and you know you have to look at it all. And
well, and we've talked a lot about this with all of the money that is coming in to the economy because of Congress and all of this spending, it's deflating people's dollars. And Karen, let's jump over here to you right now. We've been talking a lot about housing stock, and you and I had dinner last night, which was great. And you shared with me that in this challenging market, you have really been able to help a lot of people successfully buy a home. And I congratulate you, because this is really trying times. And if we had lots of inventory, it would be just fantastic. But, and I was trying to find this from the what Patty had pulled out here. But here in Colorado, it looks like that there has been not that many approvals for single-family neighborhoods, but all kinds of approvals for apartment buildings. And when people are renting, they're not building equity. But yet you've been able to successfully help people navigate this. Tell us, you know, what's your thoughts about this?
Well, the year, as we've discussed, has been super challenging because of the lack of housing supply. And you have to go in to a transaction with some creativity and yet do your very best to protect your client. And in a market that has been demanding buyers to give up a lot of their protection, we have still been successful. Being able, I have been in my team, to get homeowners into housing. And they have been, homeowners have to just understand what their options are going in. They have to understand what things are available for them to negotiate, and they have to decide if that's what they want to do or not do. And for those who have chosen to take more risk, they have been able to get into homes, but they've also been able to get into homes that are suitable for them. And we believe that home ownership, as we talk every time on the radio, is the way to building wealth in America. And owning real estate that is a limited supply resource has been affording these families to do that. So it's just having that consultation up front so that they have understanding and they can then make good decisions.
Well, and the other thing right now, Lauren Levy, is interest rates are at these historic lows with inflation just looking like it's on the horizon. If people can take advantage of an artificially low rates because of all of this public policy, but on an individual basis, if they can take advantage of this low rate and get into their own home where they're creating equity, they really should do that. So there is still opportunity right now, correct?
There is, and it encompasses not just refinances. I would encourage people, if they're thinking about buying, to call someone like Karen, because if you can lock in a rate of, let's say, 3% now versus 3.5% in 6 months from now, your buying power has gone significantly down on what you can afford as far as a home price. And home prices, if they come down at all, will lag a rise in interest rates. So it's not like you can say, well, I got 3.5%, but the house I wanted is $100,000 cheaper. It won't happen like that.
Mm-hmm.
It'll lag significantly. So I've been saying for weeks on the phone with you, and that there's an opportunity here that everyone should be taken care of. And if you don't have a rate, you know, there's still rates in the high twos. If you don't have a rate that starts with a two, you know, you might want to look into it.
Okay. And Karen, I know that you really recommend people pre-qualify. So work with Lauren to get pre-qualified so that all that's buttoned up. Either you said it on the radio or last night, being prepared is really what's going to be provide a success in a real estate transaction. But that actually is throughout life. But being pre-qualified really helps people as well, right, Karen?
Exactly. And I think what people need to understand, which is what Lauren alluded to, is if you've been thinking about making a housing change due to the fact that rates are at these historic lows, there is opportunity out there. And working with a professional like myself on the real estate side and Lauren on the financing side, we can be successful. You have to have some patience potentially, or you have to be able to jump quickly.
Jump quickly. You have to be both, huh?
Exactly, right? It's you know, it's kind of that swing thing, because when the right house comes on the market, you have to be ready to execute. You don't have a day or two to think about it. And we believe, based on the information I received at the National Association of Realtors Conference in November, that, one, you've alluded to it several times this morning, Lauren, is we are going to see movement in rates over 2022. We also believe, based on Lawrence Yoon, the chief economist of the National Association of Realtors, that we're going to see our housing stock increase a little bit due to, one, deaths in America are going up statistically. And so when people pass away, generally there is housing that becomes available because those homes are sold by their family. In addition to that, we saw mortgage forbearance during the COVID disruption, and that mortgage forbearance has gone away, and people aren't going to go into foreclosure. So I want the listeners to understand that, but they may be in a position that they can no longer make those payments on their housing, and so they will sell their homes to be able to not go into foreclosure and take advantage of the equity they've experienced in the appreciation they've seen over these last several years. So not a lot of home stock increase, but at least a little home stock increase.
Okay, Karen, we need to go to break, but I have to just ask you, when they said that deaths are going up, I'm going to have to ask you, are they saying that's COVID-related or what that is exactly? So keep that. We'll keep that on the questions there. In studio with me is Lauren Levy. He is a mortgage expert with Polygon Financial Group. Phone number, I have it memorized, is 303-880-8881, 303-880-8881. On the line with us is Karen Levine, and she is a realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, can help you navigate through this crazy housing market here in the metro area. Her number is 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516. And one other partner of both the shows that I wanted to highlight is Castlegate Knife and Tool, family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And they have a pop-up store over in the Castle Rock Mercantile. And a great place to do your Christmas shopping. And in fact, I have a wedding that's coming up soon. And so I was out at Castlegate the other day and bought a great wedding gift, as well as some Christmas gifts also. So be sure and check out their website. That's castlegate.com. Castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Lauren Levy and Karen Levine.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse with Three Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. Three Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at Three Points Financial working for you to navigate those uncharted waters. Check out ThreePointsFinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's ThreePointsFinancial.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's KimMunson.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And really a great podcast that we rolled out last week as well. And that was with America's mom, Sharona Bishop. And remember, the FBI had given her a little visit. And so she talked about that as well. So be sure and check out that podcast. It's a good one. Karen Levine, you mentioned that the economist for the National Association of Realtors said that deaths are going up. Compared to what was the implication that this is because of COVID, or did they unpack that at all for you?
They did not unpack that specifically, but I think the inference was twofold, some being COVID-related, because we do know people, unfortunately, are dying from the virus, but also our population is aging. We're living longer, but there are more of us in those upper aging categories. So it's, I think, twofold.
Okay, so, and we have also heard that COVID has really been more, well, has been, let me, how can I say this? Because the recovery rate is over 99%. And I have friends that say, Kim, you need to remember to remind people that the recovery rate is over 99%. And for people that are considered elderly, I think it's the recovery rate is 94%. And so as we're talking about that, I think, you know, let's make sure that we say that. But also, many of the people that they are designated as dying from COVID do have what they call comorbidities. And so it may be an aging population, and once they get COVID, you know, certainly that complicates things. So, but I think that's important to note that we have an aging population, and at some point in time, each and every one of us are going to meet our maker. So I think that's kind of important. And as you mentioned, then children will sell the house. I wanted to ask you, Lorne, about the Fed. During the break, well, yesterday we had Maurice Sabrin on, and he's really a free market guy. And he really thinks we should get rid of the Fed. I guess I'm paraphrasing what I thought I heard him say. And let the free market really take care of this. Because during the break, you said the Fed has some dual purposes, and that is employment and inflation. Can we get rid of the Fed? What do you think?
You know, that's a difficult question. I've done a lot of reading on this myself, and I really think that if the Fed had their way, they would be a lot less involved than they have been for the last number. I mean, going back really to 2008, mm-hmm. I think they were ideally put in place to be a bumper for an economy that was way overheating or in trouble on, you know, on either end, mm-hmm. and that somewhere in the middle, the free market would just run itself, and they could just sit back and not do much, you mm-hmm. know, and just kind of let it go. But we had a big crisis where people were afraid of the banks going out of business, basically, in 2008.
And was government-induced.
Yep.
I want people to understand that, government-induced.
Right, well, that's what happens when you mentioned a free market and getting rid of the Fed. Well, do we really ever have a free market if the government is the one that's in there making changes to things all the time and kind of picking winners and losers, and it makes it hard so that the Fed is almost there as the backstop to try to unwind those mistakes?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they had to do in 08. They had to save the banks and unwind everything that had happened. And then here you fast forward with COVID and whatever was caused by the disruption, and it happened, you know, and then they have to come in and save it again. And so
sure. They create the crisis, and then they use that to come in and save it, and they always take more and more power when they do it.
Right. The government does. The Fed is just the one that has to deal with the fallout.
Yeah.
And with the tools that they have. And so you can argue if they've done a good or bad job. Most people have said, well, are they a little late to slowing things down because of inflation, but I don't think anybody really thinks that they're bad people. They just do their best, I think. But the government is the one that's in the way, causing a lot of the issues for them.
Well, my gosh, President Brandon comes in and he immediately closes down the Keystone XL pipeline, and then fuel prices are up 60%. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that that's a problem.
Right, and the Fed didn't have anything to do with that. That's the president, and the Fed has to react.
Yeah. So it is those PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that are doing this. Karen Levine, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, I was just pondering what the question was, which is, you know, do you get rid of the Fed? And I guess the question that came to me, which is a conversation we've been having at the National Association, which has to do with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which is another government entity that is involved in the mortgage market. And so I kind of would like to hear from Lorne. We have been looking at their need to restructure. How do you potentially bring that to the free market and, you know, make the mortgage market also more of a capitalistic situation? And I think these are tough questions.
Mm-hmm. And you've got 2 minutes to answer that.
Well, nice. Lorne. No, I talk about this in my own office. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have always had the backing of the government, but they used to be independent agencies. They used to have stocks that traded on the stock exchange. You could buy and sell with the belief that you were doing something that was actually involving the free market. And then when 08 and 09 happened, they got taken over basically by the government, and they've never been released back to the public. And if you dig a little deeper, you realize that the Fannie and Freddie combined are transferring about 75. I don't want to overstate this. I don't know if it's million or billion. I think it might be million dollars to the Treasury on like a monthly basis from profits of their operations that normally would go back through a dividend if they're a publicly traded company or stock buybacks like any other company. But they don't because it's going to the government. And so if the government sets them free, there goes that huge loss of revenue. And why, the government's not going to give that up. Yeah. That's what's slowing it down so much is it's such a profit center. And if they just freed them back up, then you know rates would go up, which would you know, but it would be back to normal operations, sort of with just the backstop that they're used to having instead of actually dealing with the government directly.
I bet it's billion. Well, let's research that out when we do the recap.
I can find that out pretty quick.
Yeah, we'll get that. Karen Levine, we are actually getting to the end of the show here, and thank you. Wonky morning with all that wind that happened yesterday. What's your final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Oh. You're putting me in that position that you do with Lorne. No, I think my final thought is that as Americans, we are creative, we're industrious, and we are problem solvers. And in the real estate market, I am one of those people that am out there to help my neighbors and my friends and the people in the Front Range be homeowners and change their housing, you know, their housing situation. And with that, I have just really felt blessed by 2021, and I look forward to 2022 still being a strong housing market and continuing to be able to achieve the American dream for others. So I look forward to that opportunity. And definitely, if you have questions about what your options are in the housing market, whether that's staying here locally or coming in from out of state or moving up, moving down, I am a resource.
And that number, Karen Levine, is 303-877-7516. Thank you so much. Lauren Levy, you've got about 10 seconds. So is it billion or million?
I haven't found it yet.
That's okay. We'll have that in the recap, and that will post here in 48 hours. So, my friends, our quote for today is from St. Augustine. He said, "There is no saint without a past and no sinner without a future." So today, be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you and God bless America.